as we've been hearing on the news today, the long-awaited official guidelines on abortion in Northern Ireland have been published by the Department of Health. They've been drawn up to spell out abortion law for people working in the health service. So what impact will the guidelines have on the debate about abortion here? Breda Hughes from the Royal College of Midwives is with us. Morning, Breda.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Marion Woods from the organisation Life NI. Good morning, Marion.
Good morning, Stephen.
So, Breda, what do you make of these guidelines?
I think a cautious welcome all round. I think it's a huge relief to have something out there that people working in this very difficult area can use as something to refer to. I think it sets out very clearly what the law is. There are a couple of areas we think we'd like a little bit more clarity on, but we will certainly take that up with the Department of Health. But broadly, very welcome to midwives working at the coalface.
So what difference do the guidelines make? What has changed, Breda?
Well, I think given the last consultation in 2013, which was extremely punitive, very heavy on prison sentences and very light on good clinical guidance for healthcare professionals and almost nothing at all about what women need, this is completely different. This is much more like the original guidance that was issued way back in 2009. It has a couple more bits and pieces in it. It recognises the fact, for example, that in the intervening period between 2009 and now, internet pills, the internet has abortion pills widely available and that women are using them. So it has moved on, I think, since 2009, but it has certainly lost that very heavy, punitive tone of the previous draft guidance.
Do you agree, Marion?
Well, we welcome the publication of the guidelines. We've been in agreement for some time now that it is imperative that clinicians have clarity on guidance, and if these guidelines give those clinicians clarity to treat women to in the best of their ability, then we're very happy with that. We are also pleased and reassured by the emphasis on the fact that the guidance, as it says, cannot and does not make any change to the law of Northern Ireland, and we're pleased to see that emphasised.
But do you support the current law?
The current law?
Yeah.
Law in Northern Ireland,
it allows abortion in some circumstances, doesn't it?
It allows abortion in the circumstances where a woman's mental health or life is at risk. That has been the case for some time now. Works within that framework and has done so for 30 years.
If we look at the clause on fetal abnormality, because obviously this has been widely reported, the debate around it, these new guidelines say fetal abnormality, including abnormality which inevitably means the fetus will not survive, is not in itself, Breda Hughes, grounds for a termination of pregnancy in Northern Ireland. However, the impact of fetal abnormality on a woman's physical or mental health may be a factor to be taken into account when a health professional makes an assessment of a woman's clinical condition and recommends options for her ongoing care. What's different about that than what was previously in guidelines?
Well, I think this guidance recognises that to be given the news that your planned pregnancy, your very much wanted baby, has something wrong with it that makes it incompatible with life. I think there is a recognition in this guidance that for some women that is just a cross that they can't bear, that it will cause a devastating impact on their mental health. And in some ways, it brings us back to the status quo, which pertained before any guidance was issued as far back as 2009. And I think it's a case of where it can be demonstrated that the woman will suffer serious mental distress and suffering if she is made to continue with the pregnancy, then I think there is scope in there for medics to use their clinical judgment. And it's quite clear throughout this guidance that it is the clinical judgment of the attending physician that actually sets the parameters, if you like. Now, one bit of concern that we do have...
But how is that different than before?
Because the previous guidance, the draft guidance from 2013, just was a blunt statement to say fetal abnormality is not grounds for abortion in Northern Ireland, and didn't recognise actually that the diagnosis that you're carrying a baby with a fetal abnormality can have a devastating impact on the woman's mental well-being. That just wasn't recognised previously. I think this does. Where it does fall short, and we would like some clarification, is it says that information may be given to women if, for example, in their particular circumstance, a determination cannot be carried out in Northern Ireland. They can be given information about services available in GB. It stops short of saying that they can be referred to a service in GB. And I think that's something we'd like to tease out a bit further when the joint Department of Health and Department of Justice working group is set up, because it's that referral that enables women to have a complete package of care. If the abortion can't be carried out in Northern Ireland, if she's able to be referred to somebody in GB and then have her follow-up care back again in Northern Ireland, where there's a complete circle there, I think the outcome is likely to be much better for the woman. But this guidance stops short of saying that, so maybe that's something we need to tease out in this working group.
And I notice in this guidance it says it is for a medical practitioner to assess on a case-by-case basis using their professional judgment as to whether the individual woman's clinical circumstances meet the grounds for a termination of pregnancy in Northern Ireland. So does that absolutely protect a medical practitioner who is aiding and abetting an abortion in Northern Ireland? Because this clause says it is for them to use their professional judgment on a case-by-case basis.
Well, I think the fact that they're using their professional clinical judgment in a case-by-case basis means that they are not aiding and abetting unlawful abortion. They are assessing each woman's needs. There are some women who will be so distressed with the news, particularly around fetal abnormality, that it will seriously impact.
My point is this. My question is this. Do those guidelines therefore mean that an individual practitioner's professional judgment cannot be second-guessed, cannot be questioned, because it's their judgment at the end of the day that these guidelines are saying is what dictates what happens?
I think that's what it is saying. I think they're saying very clearly that this is a clinical issue, that if you misjudge a situation, then you are subject to the law, as is anybody. But if it is your opinion, and I think the bottom line in all of this is formed in good faith, going right back to the Bourne judgment in the last century, I think if a clinician reaches an opinion formed in good faith that this procedure is necessary to protect the health and well-being of the woman, then they will not be subject to the law. It provides a defence, if you like, to the law. And I think that's very welcome, to see this as a clinical health issue rather than a moral or legal issue.
And when, Marion Woods, you said Life NI supports abortion in certain circumstances, does that mean you differ from Precious Life?
No, I didn't say that we supported abortion in certain circumstances, Stephen. What I said was that we work within the framework of the law. We're not lawmakers. The law as it stands has been the way that it is for many, many years. And what we do is we provide counselling and support for women who find themselves in crisis pregnancy.
So do you support the current law, which allows abortion in certain circumstances?
Well, we work within that framework. We're not lawmakers. So that is the law as it stands. And what we do is we say that we offer life affirming.
Yes, but do you support the law in its current circumstances? Or do you think it should be tighter still and ban all abortion all the time?
No, the law as it stands is there for the doctors to decide if this is something that is going to be very detrimental.
You're not really answering the question. It's a pretty straight question. Do you support the law which allows abortion in certain circumstances, or do you think the law should be changed so that abortion is never allowed?
Well, we haven't campaigned against the law as it stands at the minute, Stephen, so I think that's fairly evident that what I'm saying is that for the last 35 years, we have worked within the law as it stands, and we have
So to answer the question in the affirmative, the negative, do you support the law as it currently stands, which allows abortion in certain circumstances? Yes or no?
The circumstances where the mother's life is at a severe risk, the doctors make that decision, and if possible, the doctors will do their utmost.
And you support
to protect
that? You support abortion in those circumstances, do you?
The doctors will work to protect.
Why are you ducking the question? I just don't understand. Well, with a yes or no answer, do you support the law which allows abortion in certain circumstances, for example, where a mother's life is in danger? Do you support abortion in that circumstance?
Well, I think that it's very clear from the law that it says that the sole purpose of the law is to make sure that abortion does not happen for the purpose of ending the life of the unborn child. The law in Northern Ireland quite clearly states that...
You're completely going off on a tangent again, given the question. I'll ask it again. Do you support the law which allows for an abortion if the mother's life is in danger?
If the mother's life is in danger, the doctor will do their utmost to... protect both lives, if that means that, as may happen, the child passes away, if the doctor has been doing everything possible to protect both lives, then that is an unfortunate circumstance of a procedure which the doctor may be carrying out. But the onus is on the doctor to value and protect both lives, and that is...
You haven't said yes or no again.
Law.
So I'll ask it again. Do you support the law which allows for abortion in a circumstance where a mother's life is in danger, yes or no?
Well, we support the law as it stands, you know, and that means that...
That means you support abortion in certain circumstances.
Well, what the law clearly says is that the doctor will do their utmost to protect both lives. That's actually what the law says.
Marianne, people know. People, I just don't understand why in 2016 someone can't say yes or no. So people know what you're doing here this morning. You're avoiding saying yes or no. When a mother's life is in danger, and the law says that an abortion is therefore permissible if a mother's life is in danger, do you support abortion in that circumstance?
Well, that is the law as it stands.
Okay.
But all I'm trying to say is that when a doctor is faced with that, the doctor also looks at the particular case and will say, we will do our utmost to value and preserve both lives here. However, if in the unfortunate circumstance that the child passes away, that what I'm trying to say is that is not a result of the termination. I guess that's what I'm trying to point out to you, that the loss of the life of the child there is not the sole purpose of the termination. The sole purpose of the termination is to protect the life of the mother. I guess I'm not explaining that in the best way possible, but that's what I'm trying to say, that... The child and the mother are both valued in the law. The doctor will look at that situation in and as of itself and will do their utmost to protect both lives. However, if the child passes away, that is an unfortunate result of the doctor doing their best to provide best care for the mother and the unborn child, and the unborn child may pass away in those devastating circumstances.
Well, the unborn child may pass away in those circumstances is different from the proactive measure of aborting a fetus.
But the law as it stands, yes, in protecting the life of the mother, but it quite clearly says in those guidance that a termination in Northern Ireland is not allowed for the sole purpose of just ending the life of the unborn child.
And Breda Hughes from the Royal College of Midwives, am I right in saying that if you read these guidelines, the onus falls on the woman wanting an abortion in a case of fetal abnormality to prove that there would be a serious threat to her mental health?
Well, I don't think she has to prove anything. I think her clinician must make a judgment. Once the woman has been given the news, I think she and her clinician need to sit down together and they need to assess the impact that this will have on either her physical or her mental well-being. And between them, that they must decide what is the best course of treatment for her. And for some women, they will take it in their stride and they will say, I will continue with this pregnancy, and they will be given all of the support and care that they need to do that. But for other women, they will say, I am not willing to be declared a mental wreck, but I just can't face continuing with this pregnancy. And I'm thinking particularly here of women who fall into surrogates category, in which case I think that they should be given information and if necessary, a referral, because in this case, the pregnancy cannot be terminated in Northern Ireland, and I think they should be referred to a particular named individual in a particular hospital in England so that they can have the treatment that they need and then come back to their original obstetric team so that they can explore further what caused this anomaly in the baby.
Surely, Breda, you should accept that there isn't a consensus to change the law in Northern Ireland.
Well, I think the fact that there isn't a consensus is almost irrelevant. I think we're going to have an interesting time in a couple of years ahead as a consequence of Justice Horner's decision last November or December that the law as it stands
is incompatible with the European Convention on Human Rights, and the Attorney General, as we know, has lodged an appeal against that, and that will eventually work its way through the courts, and the legislature in Northern Ireland may in fact then be directed to bring in legislation that does make it compatible with the ECHR. But in the meantime, we welcome these guidance. They're necessary to keep people right in the, at the grassroots level, and we think a little bit more work to be done, some more clarity required, but broadly a welcome from the Royal College of Midwives.
Okay, Breedon Marion, thank you very much indeed.